The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 64 of the Canes Cast, live on location in Vegas. You know what that means?
What's that?
Means that we better get ready to go on a heater.
We are, after all, in Las Vegas.
That's what they tell me. And for everybody who wants to know, the reason why it's the Vegas Golden Knights and not Las Vegas Golden Knights is NHL teams can only have three names. They can't four.
I think they can have as many as they want. I think they just chose to go three.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure the rule is you can only be three.
No, I don't believe you.
Well, that's all right.
And the reason I got excited during the intro there is Jacob Slavin buried a beautiful wrist shot during practice here. The Hurricanes practicing today, Monday, November 5th, at City National Arena in Summerlin, Nevada, before heading off to St. Louis, as this four-game road trip will shift back east a little bit.
And the Canes got to find themselves a little bit right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we look to the first period in Arizona that did not go any way, shape, or form the way that the Canes wanted it to be, digging themselves a 3-0 hole in Arizona. And then the result the other night in Las Vegas on Saturday, Smitty, I think Rod Brindamore said it best. It's the game that he was least happy with out of his players. They've got to find a way to get their mojo back, and I don't know what the exact answer is. I know everybody likes to offer the suggestions, but I think it comes down to something that's simple that we know. They have to outwork their opponent every night, and they've got to skate them. And I think that the last two games, the first period, the Canes didn't have their legs in Arizona, and I just don't think that they had anything in the tank against the Knights the next night. So
yeah,
they've got to find a way to get the legs moving again.
Well, and since last recording this podcast, last Monday, the Hurricanes are 0-2-1. They've slipped to 2-6-1 in their last nine games. And that's – they've kind of – the 4-0-1 start to the season has now been quickly – I don't want to say erased, but you've buried yourself in a little bit of a hole here lately. And the Hurricanes are going to need to figure some things out here moving forward if they want to get back in the win column and start moving up the standings again, because as these weeks begin to progress on here during the season, it's only going to get tougher. This game's only going to get tougher, and the players have said as much. After not scoring in Vegas, the first time the Hurricanes have been shut out this season, the first few weeks of the season, and we mentioned it on the podcast very early on, teams are still figuring it out. Games are wide open, scores are high, but as the season moves along, games get tighter, teams tighten up,
yep.
Coaches figure things out, and you're already starting to see that a little bit, and the Hurricanes, of course, get shut out for the first time this season in Vegas, so they've got some things they need to work through, I think, in order to get back to the level that they were playing at early in the season.
All right, so let's go to what you just brought up. Was the 4-1-1 start in the first six an indication of what this team is, or is it the last eight games more where the water is the level for this team? Because I'd like to think it's the first six,
right?
Not what we've seen the last eight. And the old cliche, and it is a cliche for a reason, when things are good, they're never as good as everybody sees it to be. And when they're bad, they're not as bad as everybody sees it to be. And I think that we're in this stretch right now where people just keep looking to the past. I think you got to forget that with this team and this coaching staff and what they're trying to do and extract positive when it's there. And there has been some positive. I mean, the Knights game, we can beat that thing to death. It just wasn't a good game for this team. And now we've got to find how can they get ready against the St. Louis team that's going to be an angry bunch, because their season has gotten off to a terrible start and they're going to look for a win at home. But that's a game, oddly enough, that I looked at the road trip and the way that the Canes want to play, I think we'll give St. Louis a bunch of problems, because St. Louis is not a particularly fast team by NHL measures, you know, line for line. So that it's, for me, a real simple thing. Play fast, play with pace. Oh, and get to the front of the net. You got to get to the front of the net in this league if you're going to score goals. And that's kind of evaporated a little bit, definitely in the Vegas game, and it wasn't there in the first period that much against Arizona.
I think, to your question about where this team's game will ultimately land, I think it's somewhere in between the two stretches that we've seen. I think to begin the season, you saw a team playing maybe, I don't want to say above its potential, because as we've seen, the Canes have potential to be very good, very fast, high scoring, fun to watch. But lately, I think they've been vastly underperforming, at least in terms of the concrete results that this team hasn't been able to get. And the key to all of it is to stop it before it gets out of hand. And that was kind of a focus there during the Canes' three-game losing streak, is trying to nip it in the bud, you know, before it got too out of hand. And that's what you have to do over the course of the season in order to make sure that you don't slip too far. I think we've seen that in previous years, where especially last year when the Canes didn't win. I don't believe that the Canes won more than three games in a row last year. And
that's right.
They had some losing streaks that went on for four games, five games, and those start to add up.
Yeah, this league, you have to minimize the damage. You can't go on four, five, six-game losing streaks, because everybody's picking up points. And we're going to say that as we get later on in the season and people start looking and obsessing over the standings. We're like, oh, well, it's hard to gain any traction because everybody's getting a point, it seems, every night. Well, that's happening right now, too, in this league. So the Canes right now are on a four-game losing streak, and they got to put the brakes to it in St. Louis. But they have done a few different things the last two games. Started in Arizona, where Rod Brind'Amour mixed up the lines. He moved Andrei Svechnikov up to the line that's centered by Sebastian Aho and Michael Ferland. And it got a goal, so you can't argue with the results. But is there more tinkering to be done? Or I'm a guy, especially when it comes to putting lines together, I like to see, all right, run for three, four games and see if there's anything there. I don't think you can tell anything shift by shift if this line's going to work or not.
Well, based on what we've seen in practice today, it looks like the coaching staff is going back to their lines that were used at the start of the Arizona game. So you've got Fogel with Staal and Williams. You've got Svechnikov with Wallmark and Martinook. You've got Ferland and Teravainen with Aho. And Waugh, Zikov, and McGinn there on the fourth line, at least today in practice. That could change again by the morning skate Tuesday in St. Louis. But I think they had success with those lines. I think the coaching staff likes those lines. I also think there's a bit of a – there's only so much tinkering, I think, that they can do with these lines without completely blowing them up.
Yeah.
And there's one line that you don't want to touch, and that's Sebastian Aho's line. And even moving Svechnikov in with Teravainen, I think I mentioned that last week on the podcast that might be the only little tinkering that you could do that would kind of make sense to not really mess with the huge chemistry on that line. And elsewhere, I'm not sure there's really much you can do to really change it vastly from what we've seen in the past. And these lines have worked, and it's a matter of them getting on the ice and producing. So I wouldn't be surprised if these lines stayed the same for Tuesday in St. Louis. I know they like the way each of them's constructed. They like the way they flow. They like the way they can match them up against their opponents. And it's on them to go out there and produce.
Well,
but I'm not surprised that there has been some additional tinkering, at least going back to what we saw before the Arizona game, just because of the lack of offense in Vegas.
And based on what the Web's Michael Smith just reported here at practice, I think that it also gives, because some changing has happened in the course of a game now that Rod Brind'Amour has seen it, that if a game isn't going the right way, he knows certain combinations maybe that he liked from these last two. So maybe you'll see Andrei Svechnikov, if the game is starting off slow, take some shifts with Aho and Ferland moving on. And again, you got to find your game every night first. The team that, and this is, I know it's beyond coach speak there, but the team that dictates tempo, they win more often than not in this league, you know, or they're getting points, because you can't play in this league, I think, consistently behind. Even though the head coach told us after the Vegas game, you can come back in this league now. There's going to be penalties. There's opportunities. Rod Brind'Amour said that. It's true. But I think every night when you're looking up at the scoreboard and you're trailing, you get in a different kind of mentality. You get in a bunker mentality of, oh, here we go again. What are we going to do? Especially if the offense is running a little dry.
You're chasing the game, and that's not a recipe for long-term success. You can certainly come back, and the Hurricanes have done it throughout the season. They did it in Arizona even, but it's not a recipe for long-term success, and I think it would benefit the Hurricanes greatly on this road trip if in St. Louis they can get that first goal, they can get that second goal, and just start to build a lead instead of having to chase the game like they have for these last two games of this road trip.
Yeah, so let's get to it, Michael. What have you been watching from your vantage point up in the press box that is missing with the start of just the last two games? Let's not try and diagnose the entire patient here, but what hasn't happened to start these games on this road trip?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean,
that's why I asked.
I actually don't even think the starts have been that bad.
I
thought the start in Arizona was pretty good. I thought the start in Vegas was pretty good. But each time, the Hurricanes ended up down by a goal.
I was going to say, the funny thing you say that, a lot of people, and there were a lot of Canes fans in Vegas coming out to watch.
Shout out to everybody who came over on that STM trip. They took in the game. There Saturday night, there was a little Top Golf event there on Sunday with some of the Hurricanes rookies. Really just a great weekend, and always good to see Hurricanes fans on the road.
It was a good time, and, you know, it's a different experience. And, again, if you're a fan and you get a chance to come out to a different venue and, you know, see how they put on the show and the game, I wish the game would have been better for the season ticket members who were here. But a lot of season ticket members at the event at Top Golf were talking about the first period in Arizona, and it was weird because I didn't think it was that bad until, you know, it's the until is pretty big, you know, three goals in what, 3 minutes and 45 seconds the Canes gave up?
It was pretty quick, and the first one was the shorthanded goal.
Yeah, exactly. But for me, the first 4 minutes of the game, 5 minutes of the game, because of, you know, I was in the Zamboni entrance right behind the goal.
Yep.
Canes were skating. Canes had puck control. Canes were making some really good plays, getting some good scoring opportunities. And then all of a sudden, the shorthanded goal goes in, and bang. Now this team is down. So, again, we're not trying to say that everything's great, but maybe that first period in Arizona wasn't that bad until, and that's why I go back to that, when you see that first goal go on the board right now, where does your head go if you're this team?
Well, and that's what I think is holding back the Hurricanes the most right now is their power play. I truly believe that. It is, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. It's probably dipped into the single digits by this point, but it ranks last in the league. And in Arizona, to have a good start and then to have a power play but then surrender a shorthanded goal on a play that, you know, a turnover in your own zone and a quick shot from the slot, I mean, it's just – It's certainly not what you want to see from your power play. Certainly not what you want to see in the first period of the first game of a road trip. It doesn't set a good tone for the rest of the proceedings.
Which, by the way, Arizona has been unbelievably good scoring shorthanded goals this year. Alex Pruitt from Sports Illustrated actually just wrote an article about it today about the duo of Michael Grabner and Brad Richardson. How good they have been on the PK, creating offense in a position that people are just trying to hang on for 2 minutes.
And I don't know if they've scored another shorthanded goal since, but that was their league-leading seventh shorthanded goal. The Hurricanes, meanwhile, have only scored six on the power play.
Yeah.
I mean, that just sort of illustrates where both of those units are at. The Coyotes' penalty kill, very good. The Hurricanes' power play, not so good right now. And that's the one thing that really needs to see a market improvement here if the Hurricanes are going to start stringing some wins together. Because while I don't think it's much negatively affecting their 5-on-5 play, it's at least hindering what they're able to do offensively.
I think it's hindering the game because there's so many penalties in an NHL game now. And when I say so many, you're going to get four opportunities a night on the power play.
And that's, you need to take advantage. Yeah.
And it's... Walk with me on this for a second. I'm going to ask for some leeway if I can. The Web's Michael Smith.
Okay.
You can have an effective power play and it doesn't get on the board. But the pressure that you generate on a 5-on-4, you can carry over for another shift. You can hem in a team. You can tire out a defender if you have an effective power play. And I think right now, the Canes, when they go on the power play, are playing different than 5-on-5 because I think they're slowing it down. You know, they're trying to make something perfect, instead of just making the plays, getting the pass through. And I think there's something else that's frustrating when you watch other power plays around the league. I'll go with the Washington Capitals. We know what they're going to do. We know who it's going to.
Right.
And it still goes there.
Yeah.
And everybody, it's not like it's a secret. Nobody sees it until that night.
And he still scores.
Yes. And we're referring to Alex Ovechkin. And it's now you get to the point, 14 games into the season, trying to diagnose this. I don't want to diagnose the symptoms of what's wrong with the power play. The coaching staff doesn't want to do that. They want to diagnose this is the problem. And I can honestly tell you, I don't know if it's the personnel combinations, or the scheme. But if you watch the scheme, they're looking to do what everybody's doing in the NHL on the power play.
It's not anything different than what any other team is doing. But what I do think the Hurricanes, especially now when they're not scoring, there's that element of trying to do too much, they're pressing. Yeah. And I know folks might not want to hear this, especially the folks that like to yell shoot.
Yes.
At all times. But a power play does take a little bit of patience. If the play isn't there, pull it back and be patient with it. Because you've got one more guy than the other team. That's the math of the situation. And if the play that you want to make isn't there, pull it back and try again. I think at times the Hurricanes might be rushing some shots.
Yes.
They might be rushing some passes, making some decisions that aren't exactly smart when they get pressured by a penalty killer. And that's leading to what we're seeing as an ineffective power play. Now, when I say it doesn't affect their 5-on-5 game, I mean more so that, like, the bad habits that you're seeing on the power play aren't really creeping into their 5-on-5 game.
Yes.
But you do make a point that because the Hurricanes aren't scoring on the power play, it's affecting what they're able to do or not able to do offensively throughout a game. And in this league, you have to be able to take advantage of your opportunities and get on the board.
Oh, yeah. And I'll go back to your point to start off your commentary there, which was spot on. For the people who like to yell shoot, the thing on a power play is there is a time and place. And so the people who yell shoot then can't get mad and say they just put pucks on the net. And there is a design. There is a supposed to get traffic. You're supposed to get the penalty killers going one way so you can open up the man that you have the advantage with for a shot that's clear to try and beat the goalie. And you got to work that through the crease or through the penalty kill box to the other side and get the puck moving around. And you just got to get a little bit more snap on it. But it is something where I would like to just see this unit get a little bit more confidence. And I don't care if it's a first group or a second group or whatever it is. You know, when people, we start to obsess about line combinations, and when I say that, on the power play. Well, that's the first power play unit. That's the second power. No, it's all one grouping. It's all a power play. So it doesn't matter if group A gets the first minute of the power play and group B gets the second. What matters is one of those groups scores a goal. And that's now the big key, and they've got to find a way to do that. And there's a lot of work on the power play, as you can imagine, here at practice in Summerlin, Nevada, at City National Arena, where it's the practice rink of the Vegas Golden Knights that we're hanging out here for.
And it's a very nice practice
rink,
too. I hope this sounds fine. It's a bit loud in here. We've been watching the levels, but I think it might sound okay.
Exactly. So if you've been listening at a 45, you might need to listen at a 38 today.
Well,
I'm not sure.
It's a gnat sound.
Exactly.
It's the sounds of a hockey practice. You're not here to see it, but you're here to take in all of its glory, all of its auditory glory.
Yeah.
I think that's a word.
Yeah.
Auditory?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's of the ear. I might be making that up.
Let's talk about...
It could also be a wooden ship. I'm not sure.
Lanolin?
Like the
did you food? Notice the soap and shampoo and stuff in the hotel was
yes,
infused with lanolin?
Yes, I did.
That made me laugh.
I figured it would.
That gave me a good chuckle. All right, let's talk about goaltending real quick. The Hurricanes...
I thought you wanted to talk about the hotel going down that road.
No. It was the Bellagio.
Which was lovely.
Yeah. The goaltending. The Hurricanes are carrying three goaltenders.
Yep.
That's still a thing that's happening. And the Hurricanes aren't in any rush to make a decision. One of the main reasons being that Peter Mrazek missed Saturday's game with a lower body injury.
Yes.
He's day-to-day We don't have much else to pass along right now because we don't know much else, but we will talk to Rod Brindamore after practice and get an update on his status. It doesn't sound serious. He was on the bike before practice, is not skating today, but I don't think it's going to hold him out long. But here's an instance where, you know what, it pays off to have that extra goalie on the roster because, as it turns out, the Hurricanes need him right now.
Yeah, and I will also point this out with Peter Mrazek and the lower body injury. And, again, we'll find out more. And follow Michael Smith on Twitter if you don't. And follow me on Twitter if you don't. We always appreciate that. But
don't follow us in real life.
No.
That's kind of weird.
I mean, unless we drop something.
Yeah,
want to give it back to us.
Or, you know, if you want to say hi. But just, like, generally.
Yeah, like, not be creepy here. but to the line of an injury, whenever I hear lower body and a goalie and you hear day-to-day, that usually to me means a couple of games, four or five games. So, yeah, this is a good instance where you've got Curtis McElhaney, who is going to be here, and he'll probably see a little bit more action for the Canes, at least one more game. And, again, it works out well. Again, having three goalies is not the most ideal situation in the world when you talk about practice time, but right now it's not because Curtis McElhaney's got the net all to himself today.
Right, and in other terms, in roster terms, it's not a problem. The Hurricanes have space on the roster to carry three goaltenders. It's not a cap issue. The Hurricanes have plenty of cap space. So time is on their side. They hold all the chips.
That should be a song title.
Time is on their side. Yeah. Or they hold all the chips. Or both.
Exactly. We are in Las Vegas. That'd be a great country song for Las Vegas.
Yeah. It might be. It probably already is.
Call Keith Urban. Brad Paisley.
I'll get him right on the line.
Call Peyton Manning and he'll collaborate with Brad Paisley.
Oh, I like that. I mean, that's guaranteed to make a lot of money.
Absolutely.
So time's on their side. They hold all the chips. There's no reason to panic and make a decision right now. Obviously, the Hurricanes are going to take their time and get through this Peter Mrazek situation. And eventually, it'll sort itself out. Maybe, too, the Hurricanes look to trade one of their goaltenders. I mean, they picked up Curtis McElhaney on waivers, but perhaps there's a team out there that would be looking for a goaltender, and the Hurricanes can use their assets to their benefit.
All right, you opened up Pandora's box, so
uh-oh.
Gonna let it out now. So speaking of trades, 14
what?
Games into a season, and again, file this in the department of the Canes cast. Of where they don't tell us anything and
we know nothing.
Thank you. At least along these lines. But, and because
we like to think we know a little bit.
Yeah, well, we do. but we don't want to let anybody down. We set the bar at a very passable level.
Yeah.
And we're here for you. Now, I'd like to do the full disclosure. Michael and I are team employees of the Carolina Hurricanes. So for us to speculate on player with a name, and this is going to happen before it happens, we don't do that. But there's a player that we know who everybody is speculating about is going to get traded. My thing, Michael Smith, is when you get to a point as a team and maybe you're struggling and then you hear, oh, this is happening, this is in the mix, these winds are blowing through town and perhaps a trade is coming. It's good for fans, it's good for us. But I don't know if that affects a team, affects a player when he hears his name is involved in a situation like this or not. I'd like to think no.
Yeah, I mean, I think the player probably hears it or reads it, or gets it texted to him. I think these guys are professionals for a reason. I don't think it would affect them one way or the other. Were you going anywhere else with that?
What I was bringing up is you're also 14 games into the season.
Yeah.
Do you need to make a move right now?
No.
Like everybody gets caught up in the, well, this can happen. You know, A is over here and B is over here. So clearly A and B should get together and get the result of C for everyone.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's certainly not time to panic and pull the trigger on something that could potentially work out or not work out. I think that's sort of the danger of things is taking little micro periods of the season and trying
look at you
Well, I was going to say microcosm, but that didn't really work.
Are we going to have a TED talk after this?
Back myself into a corner on that one. But trying to extrapolate, you know, one or two games and say, you know, this is how the team is performing. I don't think the Hurricanes are the team that we've seen in the last two games. I think it's more close to what we saw earlier in the season. And I don't think there's any reason to press the panic button at this point, especially when you look at the standings right now. And the Metropolitan Division hasn't really figured it out yet. And the Hurricanes are right square in the mix of all of that.
Yeah.
And with two games left on this road trip in St. Louis and Chicago, the Hurricanes 6-6-2 through 14 games to start the season, they could easily be a couple games over 500 heading back home, where they then play 6th Street at home. So I think they're in a fine position, but you do want to see the team, obviously, start to accumulate points sooner rather than later.
First off, you just took a micro look and extrapolated data. It's amazing. Well done. To further my partner's in podcast's point here, the New York Islanders are in first place of the Metro Division right now by 2 points. You know how they got there? What we talked about a few moments ago. They're on a 5-game winning streak as of recording CanesCast episode 64. Let's double down and get some wins.
And they're beating the teams ahead of them in the standings. They beat the Hurricanes twice. They beat the Penguins recently.
That's, again, and they're putting a streak together.
Yep.
And they haven't gone on long losing streaks per se. You know, I haven't followed their entire situation.
I have not either.
But it's one of those things. They have 4 losses on the season. I don't think they had a 4-game losing streak this year. So as far as anybody who's out there who's listening to this who's a hockey fan, does anybody think the Islanders are going to stay in first place?
Probably not.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Islander fans. I found out a St. Louis fan actually does listen to our podcast.
Really?
So, yeah, like last week when I go, what are the odds of a St. Louis fan listening to us? Evidently very good. And I should know. I should know when I try to play against the house now here in Vegas, what I've learned, I'm going to lose. So
the house does always win.
That it does. But that's not going to happen. And then you go to the bottom of the division. You know, the New Jersey Devils are 5-5-1. The New York Islanders are 8-4-1. 6 points separates these two teams.
Right. That's
so. Do the Devils, do they need to go make a trade? You know, does Philadelphia, do they need to do something? Again, I think you want to at least get to the quarter pole. You know, get 20-21 games in, because I think that's when you really know what your team is.
It's actually the 3-quarter pole.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. I know that only because I've seen it on Twitter.
Outstanding.
Yeah. But I know what you mean, the quarter mark of the season.
Yeah,
well, exactly.
A quarter of the season's gone.
Correct. And we're not there yet. We're probably,
were
couple of weeks.
Were you playing the ponies out here and you didn't let me know?
No.
Because, yeah.
No. Right. I stayed away from all of the sins of Sin City.
Did you?
I did.
Because you had food and good food.
That's true.
So
why
did you lie to the people?
There were some sinful meals that we had.
So you just said you stayed away from the sins, and now you have to admit that.
In greater terms, I stayed away from the sins.
All right.
In the grand scheme of things. Okay. But we did
so
have
you had a
couple
minor
of,
sin, if you will.
Yeah, it was a couple of really, really good
Hang on,
meals.
We haven't told Bill Bernestein goodbye yet, so hold off on
and
that.
He's over there monitoring the Hurricanes practice. We'd wave to him, but he's not looking at us right now.
And also, this is audio, so us waving does no good to anybody who's listening.
Well, for the video viewers of this podcast, they would see us.
Yes. All right.
One of these days, we might get a video podcast.
Things just got a little physical as well here at practice.
Getting physical. They're doing power play work right now, for those wondering.
And
the
right
unit
now?
that's currently on the ice is Justin Falk, Sebastian Aho, Michael Ferland, Teuvo Teravainen, and Andre Valentin Zhikov, sorry. I thought it was Svechnikov at one point.
No, good reporting. You caught it right here. Now the next unit that's coming out on the ice has Lucas Wallmark with Jordan Staal, Justin Williams, and Jacob Slavin and Dougie Hamilton. And by the way, I know that people will look at Lucas Wallmark's numbers and go, well, he's on the power play. Lucas Wallmark has been very good. Michael.
Yeah,
he's just not. He's just not a. This is a tough thing to say. He's not compiling the points. But then again, last few games, nobody really is.
Yeah.
Except for the Canes. But it does lead us to a point about another center where all good things must come to an end. And that is Sebastian Aho's point streak. where he tied the record to start the season with an assist, 12 straight games, Wayne Gretzky, Ken Linsman, and Sebastian Aho has really stepped up his game. I think that he came in this year fully dedicated to getting things going, and he really did. But he has now got to find, as a number one center, especially on the road, got to get to another level. You know, if the offense is looking for it, Justin Williams said it the other night, you know, there's not a 50-goal scorer who's going to come to the rescue for this team right now.
It is funny you mentioned that, because Rod Brind'Amour said the same thing, that there's another level to his game. And we're talking about somebody who is 21 years old.
Yes.
And has 17 points in his first 14 games, and there's another level to his game. I mean,
yes.
It's kind of mind-boggling how good he is at such a young age and how good he's going to be in the years to come in this league. He's a special player. But Don Waddell said this to me in my interview with him on Saturday night in Vegas. He said the offense sort of goes as Sebastian goes. And it's not that that Aho's just because he didn't get points in these two losses that he's the entire reason the offense has sputtered, but his line certainly drives this offense. Him, Ferland, and whether it's Svechnikov, whether it's Teravainen, they're certainly the ones driving the bus of the Hurricanes offense. And because they, you know, at least in Vegas, nobody could find the back of the net, but that's what ended up happening there. So he's going to be around for a long time with this team. Don Waddell saying that contract negotiations, if you were wondering, if you haven't read my interview, I don't think we're going to hear anything for a little bit.
Yep.
I think the focus is on the hockey season right now. They've had meetings. They know where each side is at.
Yep. Don Waddell has said publicly that they're not far off on the main things that usually hold up contract negotiations.
Meetings have been very cordial. It's going to get done, but it just might not happen for a little bit as focus rightfully turns to what's happening on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, this could be one of these things where it might get done behind the scenes, but maybe not announced, you know, per se. But again, got to focus on hockey and focus heading to St. Louis, which leads us to...
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
All right, Mr. Smith. The Hurricanes, as I've found that people like to comment after the fact, I should only make predictions when the game is over, but I'm going to be crazy. The Canes are going to come back to Raleigh with at least 3 points on this trip.
Yep. Yeah, I'm taking that. I'm taking that because I think there's even the potential to get five. I like this team's prospects heading to St. Louis, especially after playing here in Vegas, having a couple days to stew over what happened. Looking to get better here on the ice today at practice. There'll be a morning skate tomorrow in St. Louis. I like the Hurricanes' chances there. I think Chicago's a tough place to play.
Chicago's,
it's a tough building.
Chicago's the weird read for me because it seems every time you look, you're like, oh, they're starting to get it together. Then they get blown out.
Well, and then there's the X factor of Will Cam Ward starting that.
Exactly.
And you know against his former team, he's going to have that extra juice and want to perform his best. So if the Canes can get back into the win column tomorrow night in St. Louis, if you're listening to this on Monday, November 5th, of course, I'm talking about Tuesday night in St. Louis. I think that's going to be big for their confidence moving forward. If they can get a couple of wins then heading back home, where, again, they're going to play six straight through Thanksgiving. So it's a good 2.5 weeks at home. That's when they can really make some noise in the standings.
Yeah, and look, you got to take advantage when the schedule gives you a break. And I know at some point on this six-game homestand, we're going to ask this. Is it good to be home this long?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that happens.
Yeah, because, you know, before going on the trip, it was a question of, well, is it good for the team to get away and get some bonding in?
Yeah.
And the answer is, yeah, of course, you know, that happens. But I think this team is already pretty close as a group. I think the atmosphere in the room, the feeling around this team is already pretty close. But it is always good early in the season for these guys to get out and spend some time with one another. But it will be good to get back home and spend some time there as well.
Yeah, and a little self-serving note here on the Canescast. I can speak for myself. I can't speak for the Webb's Michael
goal.
Smith, but I think he's on the same page with me.
Teuvo Teravainen, one-timer power play goal.
There you go. See? Simple. But this team has actually been a pretty good team to cover. You know,
yep.
I'll use the term. It's been a joy.
Yeah.
Because they get it. They understand. There's good, really good people, good personalities in the locker room. Not saying that wasn't there last year, hasn't been, but like how quick this group with so many new faces. I was expecting there to be a little bit of a kind of wait and see gel time. No, they've come together pretty quick, and that's why I don't think they're going to let things, you know, fester or be problematic too long, because this is a group that really likes, you know, being teammates. They like being on the ice. They like being off the ice together. So it's a good thing right now, and we'll see if they can keep it up.
Yeah, they're going to figure it out.
From that level of how they're being pretty cohesive,
yep,
off of the ice. Now they just got to find that, like you said, got to find that magic they had to start the first six games. Do you have one?
I don't. So we're going to get
I was going to say, do you want to ask Tracy Smoothie Cook, who is the best replay highlight man on planet Earth, if he has one for you?
I don't know if he's been listening to us.
No,
I don't
blame
him.
That's fine.
Just
wanted to give a shout out to. He's one of the guys behind the scenes. When you watch the Canes broadcast on Fox Sports Carolinas or Fox Sports Southeast, and you see those awesome music videos, or how do they get the highlight 1.5 seconds after it happened? Because that man is a genius.
Quick fingers.
And that's why it happens. And yes, quick fingers, which I've been told are helpful in Vegas too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
Smoothie, however, did not leave his room in Las Vegas. He doesn't believe in
partaking
in the...
He's smarter than all of us.
Exactly.
Then.
You know what he did? He doubled his money. He took what was in his wallet and folded it, and he is now better than we are.
So now we're going to get to the portion of the podcast, which I'm sure everybody has been waiting for. The winners.
Yeah.
Of NHL 19. We're giving away one copy on PS4, one copy on Xbox One. We had over 100 people enter this contest. So thanks for listening.
Yes.
Thanks for entering. Thanks for supporting this podcast. Remember, if you like listening to this podcast, subscribe to it so you don't miss an episode. We're on iTunes or Apple Podcasts.
Exactly. You can find it on the Hurricanes website. And we're also on iHeart.
We're also on iHeartRadio.
Thanks again to Chris Edge, who made that happen for us. So.
And we're on Google Podcasts as well. Rate us, review us on Apple. That helps us out. Put some more eyeballs on the podcast, which is always good.
And if you do that, if you rate us and review us, that moves us up and makes it easier to find for everybody who's looking for a hockey podcast.
Correct. So, without further ado, the winner of NHL 19 on PlayStation 4 is Brandon Leinberger.
Oh!
Congratulations, Brandon. We'll reach out to you via email, the email you provided, and get in touch with you there. And now, the second copy of NHL 19 on Xbox One goes to Ellis Cohn.
Wow.
Congratulations, Ellis. We
will
also be reaching out to you via email. Congratulations to both Brandon and Ellis for winning NHL 19. We'll do another giveaway soon. I like giveaways. Giveaways are fun.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
You know, again, we can't keep the stuff. So
yeah,
we'll give it to you.
Yeah, we've got to figure out something to do with it. And what better way to reward our loyal listeners? This one's going to be a late one on the East Coast because of the time difference. What is it right now? It's
Now it's only
1:45 on the East Coast.
Yeah.
This actually will be a pretty decently timed episode.
Yeah, look at you. Why are you lying?
Well, I don't know about you, but ever since we got here, my whole sense of time has been thrown off.
That's what Vegas does to you.
It's what Vegas does. It's also what just traveling west
does.
I still haven't adjusted, I don't
think. There are two places that I've been where time moves completely different than back on the East Coast.
The future.
One is, yes, in the future. I was going to say New Zealand, they are in the future, but I've
never
been there.
Does time travel backward there? Because Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a Southern Hemisphere
joke. The whole thing about the water and the can.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, New Zealand.
That's okay. I'm moving away from that. But Hawaii, because there is such a thing called island time where things just slow down and life is amazing. And Las Vegas, where you look up and you're like, is it Thursday? And somebody is going to go, I was about to ask you, is it October? You know, that's what Vegas does to you.
Yep. That's why the buildings are so big.
My father told me, first time I came out here, Marty, big podcast listener,
Oh, shout out to Marty.
I don't think he, A, knows what a podcast is, B, how to download, or C, how to listen to it if that happens. But my dad told me first time I came in, he goes, do yourself a favor, step and look up. He goes, they don't build them that high because everybody wins.
Sage advice.
It was.
Sage
advice.
Yet
I've been a fool.
You did some good eating here.
Oh.
Goodbye, Bill Burniston.
Yes, we say goodbye to Bill Burniston right now on the podcast. Thank you for tuning into episode 64, though, Bill. We did some really good eating. We went to a place called Urban 16, which is in the Cosmopolitan.
No, Block 16.
Oh, Block 16.
Yeah,
I
Block
thought
16.
It was urban. Okay.
It's an urban food hall. Urban,
is that urban food hall.
Hall.
Yeah, that's what it is. Where it's got restaurants that are successful in other parts of the country, like Portland, Oregon, Nashville, New York. And we had sandwiches at a place called Lardo.
I felt like a Lardo after eating
it. Oh, my goodness. I didn't need to. Didn't need to eat the rest of the trip. Still did. But that was outstanding. I suggest, were they called dirty fries? Because
yes.
They were.
Yeah.
They actually take the bits of the porchetta they have, put them in the fries. It's delicious. Have
yeah.
it. It's funny because all of us who went to eat, there were four of us, got four different sandwiches, and we all loved our sandwich.
Yeah.
So that's a good one.
And we got to sit, and I enjoy this anytime I get the opportunity. We got to sit right next to the kitchen and watch them prepare everything, and they were craftsmen, expert craftsmen.
I enjoy how you get hypnotized by it at times.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You just do, and it was great. So, called Lardo, go check that out if you're here in Vegas. That's a great food tip. It was not open last year when we were here. It's open now.
Right.
Also, what did you think about the wings from Pok Pok? Not your traditional buffalo wing.
Wings were tasty.
Little Korean wing action. That was good. And then... I've got two very good friends who came out here. They're huge Canes fans, season ticket holders. And we went out to dinner with them last night. And I am not kidding when I say this. I don't need to eat until we get into St. Louis, probably face off.
I was going to say, you're probably still full.
Yeah.
I'm still full last night, too. We found a little mom and pop Italian place off the strip.
What was it called?
We ventured off the strip. It's called Nora's.
Oh, nice.
It apparently started as a small little place, but the business was booming, so they built this new place, and it's gorgeous, it's beautiful, and the food was delicious, and I'm still full.
A couple of recommendations, too, if you are going to come back out here, or if you're staying out here listening to the Canes Cast, Naked City Pizza is amazing. They do subs and pizza and wings.
Mm.
It's a guy from my hometown who came out here and opened it up. And, like, people, if that's the place, like, locals go, oh, you know about that place? I'm like, yeah, we do.
Well, that's,
good find on Nora's, too.
When we hopped into the Uber after Nora's, we got in, and the lady driving was like, oh, I love Nora's. And we were like, yep, it was delicious.
Yep,
we found a good spot.
Folks, this is a good food town, but you already knew that.
But bring your wallets.
Yes, you have to do that. Again, it's the car door's open, but the ride ain't free, as Bruce Springsteen once said.
I like that.
You're welcome. Well, Bruce said that. I had to work in a Bruce Springsteen reference with John Forslund sitting immediately to our right. So I just... Should I ask if that's appropriate? Will he give the thumbs up on it?
Well, I assume the thumbs up for anything, Bruce.
All right, well, I know he agrees with it, so we're good with
exactly.
that. All right, so we've said goodbye to Bill Burniston. We gave some food tips.
I think it's time to say goodbye to our listeners.
Oh, you are just, like, also throwing out all these song references today. Time to say goodbye.
Yep.
Look at you. All
time
right.
Time to say goodbye as the Hurricanes. They'll probably be wrapping up practice here.
Next 10, 15 minutes.
And then we'll be on our way to St. Louis.
Where I've heard they appreciate you more.
That's very true.
But if you win.
Yeah.
There's also that. I waited for the caveat there, so we're good. So that does it. Episode 64 of the Canes Cast. Smoothie, did we do all right? We got a thumbs up from the Smoothitron.
Rave review.
We're
five
doing
stars.
Good. There's one five. Well, we know that we're friends with Smoothie.
Yeah.
So for the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We will talk to you next week when the Canes are in the middle of their homestand.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.